When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Ladies and gentlemen, to The Late Show. I am your host, Stephen Colbert. You know, we've had a lot of fun this week making jokes about Kevin McCarthy losing in the most humiliating fashion possible. But I gotta ask, at what point does it become sad to watch him get repeatedly dragged through the town square while the village idiots pelt him with rotting garbage? Not at this point, because this is still a lot of fun. By now, it's really clear that every day McCarthy attempts to become Speaker is just another unnecessary but enjoyable sequel, which is why we're covering all the lowlights in a segment we're calling Mamma Mia, Here He Lose Again. Waterloo, running for Speaker you shouldn't do. Let me catch you up. Let me catch y'all up. On Tuesday, right? Because the Monday was the thing. On Tuesday, Kevin McCarthy tried to get elected Speaker, but he lost 3 times. But then on Wednesday, lost 3 more times. You may be sensing a pattern. After the second day of defeat, a desperate McCarthy offered the rebels anything and everything, including his balls and a little moleskin purse. Okay? There you go. A little latch on top. He promised the Freedom Caucus 2 seats on the powerful House Rules Committee, guaranteed that one of the PACs that he's associated with would stay neutral in all future Republican primaries, and he gave in on the one thing he said he would never give in on, allowing a single lawmaker to force a snap vote at any time to oust him from the speakership. Wow, that is a really weak position to take in what is essentially a job interview. My greatest strength, probably that I'm so easy to fire. Watch. Security. See you Monday. I'm going.
Ooh, wait.
After these concessions, McCarthy was feeling pretty hopeful that progress was being made incrementally toward his victory. As he told reporters, I crawl before I walk. I walk before I run. Oh, that reminds me of the ancient riddle. What walks on 4 legs in the mornings, 2 legs in the afternoon, and is never going to be Speaker of the House? Riddle me this, Oedipus. Anyway, Kevin shook off those first 2 days of losing 3 times, came into the chamber today with a pep in his step, and lost 4 more times. So far. Why? I don't understand. That's the most since like 1859 or something like that, right? Wow. It beat the 1923 9 times in a row, okay? Why does he keep going? I'm beginning to think losing floor votes might be his kink. He's getting off on this. It's all in the new erotic congressional novel, 50 Shades of Nay. Now, why else? That's upsetting. Why else would Kevin McCarthy keep doing this other than to make me happy? Because I cannot get enough of this. I don't know how the rest of y'all feel, but this is better than watching him lose an election. Yeah. This is, I mean...
Please.
Come on. It's better than watching him lose an election because you get to watch him lose three times a day for apparently eternity. It's fantastic. And I know that these are not the feelings that the Lord wants me to have about anyone. I will grant you that. And the Lord is free to stop me. But until the Lord comes on a cloud of glory and tells me personally not to feel happy about Kevin McCarthy getting repeatedly nut-punched, every day is Christmas for Stevie. Because, and I'll tell you why. Okay? Here's a guy, and let me explain, Lord. Here's a guy who, right after January 6th, you will remember on the floor of the House that he wants to be the Speaker of, said that the president bore responsibility for that unprecedented murderous attack on the Capitol. And then 2 weeks later, he flies down to Mar-a-Lago to kiss the ring. And I don't mean... And I don't mean this one. He knew what he was doing was wrong, and he did it anyway for his personal political power. He made this calculation. I could do the right thing, or I could be Speaker. And now he gets neither. 10 times in a row. So far, it profit a man nothing to gain the world but lose his soul, assuming he had a soul to begin with. Anyway, that's all I have to say on the subject. Okay, I'll say a little more. At this point, he is offered to give away so much power that the Speaker job itself has no meaning. So, what does he actually want? My guess, and this is kind of true, he's doing it for legacy, for his place in history, because, and this is a fact, the House of Representatives must acquire an oil portrait of every speaker, or in John Boehner's case, a tasteful nude. Maybe. He looks good. He looks really good. Now, maybe Kevin's just desperate for that oil portrait in the Speaker's lobby. Well, to end this logjam, to save democracy, I have personally commissioned an oil painting of Kevin McCarthy. Bring it out, boys. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. Here's what we did, and we absolutely did this. We went online to one of those AI art generators, and we typed in the keywords that we kept finding in news articles about this impasse. Kevin McCarthy, Speaker of the House, and chaos. This is what the AI generated. Voix loser! Honest to God.
That's amazing.
I think this truly captures Kevin's je ne sais. Ah! Here's your portrait, Kevin. We'll send this to you, and you can hang it up in your office, wherever that ends up being. I'm guessing the corner booth at Ruby Tuesdays. After a couple of chocolate chip cookie skillets, you'll forget all this happened. And I do want to point out that based on this computer-generated portrait, when this is all over, Steve Carell's gonna win an Oscar for playing Kevin McCarthy. Steve. This is real. This is real. Now, as fun as this was for America to see, and as fun as all of this chaos is for America to have, this is also terrible for America. The House of Representatives cannot begin its business until there is a speaker. That means no one's sworn in, no one's being paid, no law is being passed, no money for office supplies. It has led the Washington Post to wonder, does the House even exist right now? That leads to a fascinating philosophical question. If Kevin McCarthy falls in the forest, isn't it fun to laugh at him? Republicans.
Great.
We got to send that to him. We got to send that to Kev. Republicans are understandably trying to spin the inability to fulfill the most basic function of Congress as kind of a good thing.
You described it as chaotic, and you can say that, but I really think this is democracy in action.
It's bad, it's uncomfortable, we don't like it, and obviously we want to get to business. But it's democracy.
What looks chaotic and kind of seems counterproductive to many, it's actually in its own way refreshing.
Chaotic, counterproductive, and refreshing? That could only be the great taste of Cluster Munch Cola. Get some munch in your mouth. Cluster Munch. All this dysfunction is leaving House members with a lot of time to kill. New members of the House can't be sworn in until a speaker is picked, which means all those families who came to get a proud photo op have now been camping out for days. It's gotten so bad that California Representative Jimmy Gomez had to make the Democratic cloakroom a baby-changing station. And what gets cleaned up in there, Nancy Pelosi?
The poo-poo.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Speaker. Gomez even tweeted this photo. Oh, my God! Make the baby the speaker. His resume is just as real as George Santos. But... Dancing with that chicken. Dancing with that chicken. Dancing with that chicken. But the best had to be Representative Troy Nels from Texas, who was seen outside smoking a cigar. And when asked about it, he said, they're mild to moderate, which is good because they won't make you your pants. We fact-checked that, and that is good. Of course, it implies that he sometimes chooses a brand of cigar that intentionally makes you crap your pants. You know, I've been smoking mild all week, but we're going on vacation now. Honey, pack my crappin' pants. We got a great show for you tonight.
Coming up, Chris Wallace.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm so pleased to have this guest here tonight because over five decades, my first guest tonight has covered every major American political event. He now hosts Who's Talking to Chris Wallace. Please welcome back to The Late Show, Mr. Chris Wallace. I did not know you grew up on a dairy farm because you were milking that cow.
I was milking that. They do understand that I'm not Prince Harry, correct?
I can see it. You've got a regal gait. You're imperially slim. Now, Chris, it's lovely to have you here, because who would I more want on day three of Kevin McCarthageddon? Have you ever seen anything like this?
As you called it,
yes,
in your monologue, Christmas for Stevie. You could not be happier, could you?
No.
I mean, the country...
Birth
we,
of my
we
children
literally
in this.
Do
this
not have
fantastic.
One half of one third of the government in operation, and for you... It is. Look at you. You're just.
Well, I just.
Beside
it just, yourself. It just says to me that there is such a thing as a God who pays attention to people like Kevin McCarthy, who are overt hypocrites, who clearly sold their soul for political power and get nothing in return. It just makes me happy that there is such a thing as karma. How about that?
I have an interesting story to tell you. I came up on the train today from. That's the end of the story. No, from
D.C. I'm gripped so
from
far.
D.C. to New York. And when I got to New York, I happened to bump into Nancy Pelosi's daughter.
Alexandra.
And Alexandra, exactly. Yeah. Well, she's got other daughters, but it was Alexandra.
I guessed.
In any case, we both agreed this would never have happened under Nancy Pelosi because Nancy Pelosi had one rule, which was if you don't have the votes, you don't go to the floor. So she simply would have said, well, the House is in recess, we're going to wait. She would not have had 10 votes, which is what we're at as we speak right now.
Right, and he's
where
lost
you go
10.
Down. And incidentally, there is a possibility they may have to keep voting because Kevin McCarthy may not have enough votes to adjourn till tomorrow.
Right, because the Democrats wanted to keep going because...
It's embarrassing Kevin McCarthy and it's pleasing... You.
Me, exactly.
And the anti-Kevin people want to please you. No, that's not true.
No.
But in any case, there are only 200 votes, so they may stay in there forever just voting over and over again.
Is there an end game here? Do you think he's got any plan? Because what more can he give away? They've reduced the size of that speaker's chair with all the things that he's given up. And he's like, I'll lop off anything to fit in that chair at this point.
Well, and look, that's the real point. At some point, we're going to get a speaker. And, you know, as bad as it seems right now, it's going to be forgotten what we went through in the first week of January. But there's going to be a Republican who's going to be running the House. And with all of the things that Kevin McCarthy has given away, can the House do anything? For instance, they're going to have to, at some point, pass a budget to keep the government funded. They're going to, at some point, have to raise the debt limit or we go into default. If they can't elect a speaker, what makes you think they're going to be able to take the tough votes to actually keep the government in operation?
We have to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more. Chris Wallace, stick around, everybody.
Enjoying this episode of the Late Show Pod Show? Then head to cohst.app/lateshow or visit the link in the description to fill out our quick 2-minute survey all about getting to know you.
We're back here, right there. Look at that. It's the host of Who's Talking to Chris Wallace, Chris Wallace. You've covered politics for
yes.
50 years, let's say?
Roughly,
okay. You meet the press, turned 75 in November, and you were one of its anchors. And I just want to remind people of...
See, there this is interesting. You thought you were going to embarrass me with that picture. I think some of them think, you know what? Yes, it was a helmet head. Yes, the hair was a little long, but... Come on, guys.
There's nothing embarrassing about that photograph.
Incidentally, this is the funny thing. So they showed me this picture beforehand. Your producers did. Look at the ties. The ties are almost identical.
That is the consistency we want in a Chris Wallace. Who was your favorite person to interview in that period of time when you were the host? Most memorable interview that you did.
Oh, without any question. It's easy. Richard M. Nixon. He came on in 1987, or 88, I think, and it was Tom Brokaw, John Chancellor, and me interviewing Richard Nixon. And it was his first time he'd been on since before he became president, and certainly, obviously, since Watergate. And one of the things I heard afterwards, which fascinated me, is that to prepare, he's been thrown out of office. What are they going to do to him? He wrote down every question he thought we would ask, and then wrote out in a legal pad every answer to the question and then basically memorized it. I mean, that was the kind of precision of mind. I will tell you one other thing about him. He made a bunch of predictions on that show. They were all really cogent. They were all fascinating and informed. They were all wrong. Every single one of them.
Do you remember any of them? Like, what was he wrong about?
He was wrong about who a Supreme Court justice. He was wrong about who was going to win the World Series. You name it, Richard Nixon was wrong. But he was smart.
Did you believe him at the time? Did you go, like, oh, that guy really knows what he's talking about?
Well, I don't know that I'd ever say I believed Richard Nixon, but okay.
Now, you spent 20 years interviewing politicians on your Sunday show.
Yes.
Okay. And now you've got the new show going to its second season called Look Who's Talking to Chris Wallace.
Well, it's actually not look. It's just Who's Talking to Chris Wallace.
There's no look?
There's no look.
There's no look?
It's just...
It's not guess who's talking to Chris Wallace?
You think it'd be better as Look Who's Talking to Chris Wallace?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Well, maybe.
You know what? We'll probably spend $1 million on marketing to figure it out. Anyway, Who's Talking to Chris Wallace? We did 10 weeks, 30 guests, and we're beginning season 2 tomorrow with James Cameron about Avatar. And what's fascinating is it's become a business story now, which is he going to make enough money to make Avatar 3, 4, and 5? And it looks like he is.
How much money? Do you know how much money he has to make to do the rest?
He says somewhere between $1.5 billion, which is what he has made.
Yeah, he's already there.
And $2 billion.
Have you seen that movie?
I have seen it.
And what'd you think?
I thought it was very good and a little long.
Are you gonna say that to him? Or do you say that to him in the interview?
I've already interviewed him, and
did you say that?
I said half of that to him.
And I'll just guess which half?
And Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman. These are really good guests.
Yes, these are really good guests. And next
week, who's talking to Chris Wallace.
No, who's talking to Chris Wallace?
But I'm saying, look who's talking to Chris Wallace.
Well, I know, but it's, yes, who's talking to Chris Wallace? Now, can I bring this something up here?
Yes, sure, go ahead.
The last time I was on the show,
yep,
it was March 27th.
I remember well. And CNN Plus still existed.
And it was the day before our show. Thank you. There was the one viewer of CNN Plus. And it was the day before the show was going to debut, and you and I had a conversation because I was talking about booking and how important that is.
On air we were talking?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, yes. No, this exists.
This is on tape,
Yes, it is. And I said, you know who I really would like to have as a guest? Is you. And said,
yep.
Well, you know what? And you shook my hand, and you said, it's a deal.
Great.
Now, since then, ladies and gentlemen, we have talked to his agent. We've talked to his executive producer. And we keep hearing... Well, his schedule is such. This is since last March that he can't do it. Now, look, you tell a few jokes in the evening. You ask a few questions that somebody wrote out for you. Your schedule is such that you can't come on and do... The band has turned on you. You can't come on for half an hour. And I'll tell you what, we will change the name of the show to Look Who's Talking to Chris Wallace.
Chris, it's a deal.
And we know what that's worth.
100%. You betcha. It's what I call a TV promise, Chris.
Okay.
You betcha. Would you ever want to do a Sunday show again? Because you were so good at doing the Sunday show. Why wouldn't you want to go back and do that? You get to talk to the newsmakers and everything?
Because, one, it's Sunday mornings, getting up early. I did it for 18 years.
Oh, yeah, you guys, you do that stuff live.
Yeah, yeah, it's called...
I forgot.
It's called news.
Oh, yeah, we pre-tape.
But you know, honestly, after 18 years of doing it, and like 1 week it would be... What happened in the Build Back Better build today as opposed to last week and the incremental change?
Exactly.
To be able to sit down with a James Cameron or a Hugh Jackman or an Andy Cohen or an Ina Garten or Jane Fonda, who we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
You get real people in real moments and you have real discussions. And, yes, of course, they've talked to their publicist, but it doesn't seem like they're just filled with scripting, talking points. And at a certain point... People forget the lights, and we talk for half an hour. People forget the lights, they forget the cameras, and maybe you get a real moment.
Wow.
What's
the first thing you would want to ask me if I came on your show? Sell me, Chris.
Why the hell did you not keep your promise back from last March?
Hey! Now, wait a second. I didn't say I would come on in season one or two or three or four.
Well, are you coming on in season two?
Let's see how the show goes. I think you're never going off the air, Chris. I think I could keep this promise 10 years from now. That's how confident I am in who is talking to Chris Wallace.
You got the name of the show right.
Is that what it's called?
Yes.
I don't like that name. I will see you there. Where do you guys tape?
Right down at Hudson Yards.
Ooh.
It's 30...
It's 20 blocks away. Season two of Who's Talking with Chris Wallace, starring Stephen Colbert, starts tomorrow on HBO Max and Sunday on CNN. Chris Wallace, everybody. Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
CBS Sunday, after The Equalizer.
You collect rewards, right?
This is how I make my living.
It's the season finale.
Everyone's looking for something.
Of Tracker.
You strong swimmer?
So-so.
So-so. So-so's okay.
Justin Hartley stars.
How you survive, you make quick, smart decisions. If you never let panic take the wheel.
Sounds cool.
It is cool, actually. Very cool.
Tracker, CBS season finale Sunday, after The Equalizer, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.